Thanks, Kiva. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Summer is here. Welcome to all of you here. Welcome to those who are watching our live stream from home. It's really good to be with you this morning. This morning, I am going to be continuing the third message in our Empowered series, which is on the gift of prophecy. And as a church that deeply believes in the work of the Holy Spirit, you may hear the word prophecy mentioned often around here at Evanston Vineyard. But for some of us who didn't grow up in the church, or maybe you grew up in a church where prophecy was not valued, the word prophecy may conjure up confusion, or maybe even skepticism. And you know, maybe it's no wonder, because it seems like anything in our modern culture that is anything supernatural is always kind of put in this strange category, kind of dark, kind of creepy, right? I mean, think about all the primetime shows that have cycled through the media the last few years about psychics and mediums and the paranormal. There's the Hollywood medium, an alleged psychic who shares messages from deceased loved ones with A-list celebrities. How could I forget the show called Pet Psychic, about a woman who claims to telepathically communicate with animals and then shares the messages with the pet owners. I am not kidding about that. And think about all those daily astrology horoscopes that pop up on our news feeds that try to lure people who are looking for guidance about their future. What are we supposed to make of all this? I mean, no wonder there's so much paranoia for people, even at the mention in church of subjects like prophecy or hearing from God. So today, some of you might be thinking, you know, that stuff's just a little weird. That's a little fringe for me. No, thank you. And I get it. But the truth is, these psychics and these horoscopes are nothing but demonic counterfeits of the very real and legitimate biblical gift of prophecy. But the fact that they still get so much press reveals that people are desperately searching for something more, right? In fact, in a recent well-known study done by the Barna Group, they found that over 75% of both the millennial and the Gen Z generations believe in God or a higher power. And most of them believe that if God really does exist, then he would probably communicate with his creation at some level. And so what we discover when we study the scriptures is that while God does primarily communicate to us through the Bible, he also sometimes speaks through other means, including prophecies, dreams, and visions. Because, you know, the truth is sometimes when we are making decisions in our life, maybe about what job to take or what college to attend or 1,000 other decisions, there's just not always a specific Bible verse that tells us what to do, right? Sometimes we need more specific direction from God, and prophecy can be a really practical tool if we learn how to use it. And today I believe that he is inviting all of us to grow both in our ability to hear his voice better and also to grow in sharing his prophetic encouragement with other people. But let me just start by sharing just a little bit about my own first encounter with prophecy. Early on in my walk with Jesus, I honestly had no idea that God would speak through anything other than the Bible. But all that changed when I was in college. And just to give you a little bit of a context, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. And I put my trust in Jesus as a little boy. But in my adolescence, I wandered far away from God. I got caught up in the darkness of the drug culture. And my life really got messed up. But after years of rebellion, in broken desperation, as a freshman in college, I fully surrendered to the love of God and his purpose for my life. And a few months after this, I traveled with some friends to a Vineyard conference in Chicago. We had never been to a Vineyard church, but we heard that God was moving in miraculous ways, so we were really curious. And so at this conference, thousands of people gathered for times of worship, for biblical teaching, and for prayer ministry. And one night, I went up for prayer at the end. And a prayer team gathered around me, and they began to pray things. These are people I didn't know, total strangers. They began to pray things that they felt like God was speaking for me. And as they prayed, they referenced very specific details about my life that I knew no one else could have possibly known. And also while they prayed, I just felt this very tangible sense of the presence and the love and the peace of God just fill my entire being. It felt like a holy fire just cleansing me and healing me from all the years of brokenness that had come about because of my years of wild living. And as they prayed, they continued to share prophetic words about what they felt like maybe God was calling me to in the future, some vocational ministry. And they prayed for me for probably over an hour, and honestly, I sobbed the entire time. Because for the first time in my life, I really knew that God saw me, he loved me, and he knew every single detail about my life. And he was so kind to share it with this prayer team that night. And it just brought me so much hope. It overcame so many of my fears that I carried about my future. And years later, many of those prophetic words that they shared that night have actually come to pass in my life in ways that I could have never imagined. And that was my first encounter with the New Testament gift of prophecy. But it would definitely not be my last. And I was so impacted by this encounter that I began to search the Bible. I mean, I wanted to understand what had happened to me. You know, I grew up around the Bible, but I had never experienced God in this way. I had so many questions. I mean, can I hear God like this? Is this gift available to everybody? I mean, it just so impacted me. I was eager to learn. I wanted to grow and learn how to share prophetic encouragement with others in the same way. And one of the first scriptures that I encountered was the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And so Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church." And you know, when I read that, I thought, that is exactly what I experienced that night. A strengthening, an encouragement, a comfort that nothing else or no one else could ever bring me. And I'm like, why did I never notice this scripture before? And so in my research, God was really faithful to provide lots of resources and people along the way as I began to learn about and grow in this gift. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that today. You know, as Vineyard people who base everything we believe about following Jesus on the Bible, we fully embrace Paul's exhortation here, that prophecy is a vital gift of the Spirit that's just as relevant and necessary today as it was in the early church. So we take his invitation seriously that all Bible-believing Christians should still eagerly desire the gift of prophecy because of its potential impact when it's handled wisely. You know, you might ask, like, why is Paul so insistent about this? What is the big deal? And you know, I think it's because God knows we need it. Because of the difficulties of this life, so many people are lonely are discouraged. They're desperately in need of hope. And God knows that even one prophetic word has the power to bring the hope of heaven to a hurting heart. But you know, prophecy is not just for followers of Jesus. The Bible tells us that God can also use it to draw those who don't yet know him. Later in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, if an unbeliever comes into your meeting while everybody's prophesying, the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. And they'll fall down and they'll worship God and say, God is really among you. It reminds me of a story of a dear friend who traveled with our former senior pastor, Steve Nicholson, to the country of Turkey to help support some churches that we work with there. And one night, my friend was sharing some prophetic words with one of the church groups. And suddenly, some young Turkish men came in the back of the room of this meeting. My friend said they were all dressed in like black biker gear, you know, had their helmets with them. He said they looked like they were heading out to a street fight. And immediately, my friend in that moment felt like God gave him a prophetic word that one of these men had a very strong call on his life and that God was going to use him to lead many Turkish people to Jesus. And so my friend just stepped out and he shared it right in that moment. And as he did, literally, the power of God fell on this young man. He fell down on the ground under the power of God and began manifesting demons. And they prayed for him and he got totally set free that night. And he gave his life to Jesus that night. And sure enough, he went on to lead many people in the country of Turkey to Jesus. I've met him. He has been here. He's a friend of Evanston Vineyard. So how do we define this gift of prophecy that Paul's calling us to here? A simple definition might be this. Prophecy is hearing from God and speaking for God. So prophecy is a revelation you receive from God. It's information or understanding that you could not know any other way. It's not just a hunch or an intuition. It's a message from God. Sometimes can be called a word of knowledge. And Paul tells us that prophecy is a gift that God gives you not to keep, but to give away to others. And prophecy is not something that we can earn. It's freely given by God, and it's freely received by those who ask. And no matter how long that any of us have been following Jesus, most of us would probably say we'd love to grow in our ability to hear God, right? So what does it actually look like to hear from God? We often want God to speak in a loud, booming voice, but that's rare, right? So maybe some of us think, you know, I've never heard God speak. But I honestly suspect that many of us who follow Jesus probably have heard the voice of God, and we just did not recognize it at the time. And what we see throughout Scripture is that our creative God speaks to his servants in a wide variety of ways. But why doesn't God speak more clearly, right? Why doesn't he just do it the same way every time so we understand? And I honestly think it's because it keeps us dependent on him instead of a predictable religious formula. So God can speak in a gentle whisper. He can speak in an impression or a picture in our mind, or maybe a dream or a vision or even a message through angels. In 1 Kings 19, we read that when the prophet Elijah was really struggling, God came to his rescue. But instead of God coming and speaking through a violent wind or a massive earthquake or a raging fire, it says that God spoke to him tenderly in a gentle whisper. In John 10, Jesus tells his disciples, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. And you know, we know that Jesus loves us, but I don't know if you are aware that when Jesus calls us sheep here, it's actually not the most flattering compliment. Sheep actually have one of the lowest IQs in the animal kingdom. They're weak, they're slow, they have bad eyesight, poor hearing, and no sense of direction. So listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd is not optional for us sheep. It's survival. And then hundreds of years before the Holy Spirit fell on the church, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, look at all the ways that the prophet Joel foretold how God would speak to us. He says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, says the Lord." So God speaks differently to every one of us. So how do we begin to learn the way that God most often speaks to us? We believe that the best way to hear from God is to actually pray for other people. Now, at first glance, that might seem counterintuitive, but this is really where we fine-tune our ability to hear him. And as we discern how God speaks to us in those settings, we're able then to better hear from him when we need his direction in our own lives. So how do we better tune in to God's voice? Just a few thoughts. First of all, saturate yourself with Scripture. A prophetic word from God will never contradict the truth of the Bible. The better we know Scripture, the more clearly we can discern what we think God might be speaking to us. Secondly, ask God to speak, and then practice listening quietly for his response. In Scripture, God's voice most commonly comes as a quiet whisper or a still small voice. And it can be so faint sometimes that it can just feel like it's our own thoughts. You know, I oversee our prayer teams here at Evanston Vineyard, and we always encourage our teams to take a moment of quiet, to listen to God before we begin to pray for somebody, because you just never know how God might direct you or give you input for what you're about to pray. Third, we can also look for more opportunities to pray for people. Whether we're here on a Sunday gathered or you're at your weekly small group, look for opportunities to pray. And as you do, listen to God for any words, phrases, pictures, or scriptures that might come to mind as you pray. And then take the risk to share it. And just say something like, "Hey, I just felt like God maybe gave me a picture for you or a word. Does this make any sense to you?" And if they confirm that it does, you begin to recognize the pattern of how God speaks to you. And then just keep stepping out and praying for others and taking risks in these safe environments. We really can grow in the gift of prophecy if we practice. And you know, one of the many things that I love about our senior pastor, Ted, is that he is a man who is so willing to take bold risks and share prophetic words when God speaks to him. And you know, as a pastoral staff, we get to spend a lot of time with Ted behind the scenes. And I just got to say, he really lives this stuff. So thank you, Ted, for modeling that for us and calling us to something higher. We are really grateful for you and Brittany. You know, in these settings, in my small group, this is where I learned to begin to hear how God most often speaks to me. We'd be praying for someone in our small group, and a random scripture would come to mind. I mean, just like completely unconnected to anything we're doing. And I just would pray it out. And later, sometimes the person would share that scripture was actually in their devotional reading that morning. Or it was actually a life verse, or it was a really key verse for them in this season of their walk with God. And so they'd be encouraged and just know that, wow, God sees me. And I would go away thinking, okay, that was God. And next time I'm going to step out more confidently if I feel like I hear God give me a scripture. You know, and God speaks to some people more often through pictures. You know, a picture really is worth 1,000 words. And I have a good friend in our church who often receives prophetic pictures from God. And he shared a story about one time going on a trip, one of the trips that we sent to Kenya in Africa. And he was praying for a woman. And as he was praying, he suddenly saw this random picture of 2 suitcases on a train platform. And he heard the phrase, "They are not alone." And he didn't know what to do with this, but he just stepped out and he shared it with this woman, and immediately she began to cry. And she shared that her 2 young children had just left for boarding school that week, and she was so heartsick and worried about them being lonely and alone. That woman went away encouraged that God saw her situation and knew her pain. And now I've watched God use my friend to bring this kind of prophetic encouragement to so many people over the years. And he's really grown in the prophetic gift because, number one, he always asks God to speak. Number two, he prays for lots of people. Number three, he takes risks to share what God gives him. And you know, a vital key to remember with prophecy is that this is not just about an exchange of information. It's ultimately about growing closer to God. God is not our cosmic vending machine dispensing prophecies on demand. This is about friendship with God. You know, Jesus told his disciples in John 15, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." And I believe that that is his invitation for us today. You see, God is so committed to building his church that not only should we eagerly desire the gift of prophecy, but we should actually expect it. The Apostle Paul would not have invited us to ask for this gift if God was not going to make it readily available and accessible to those who were hungry and seeking. At the Vineyard, we believe that every single one of us, no matter what our age or our place in life, can learn to hear God. So we intentionally take a posture of always leaning in to listen for his prophetic messages for others. Because you just don't know when God might speak. And with that posture in mind, anytime I used to lead worship here at the church, I just would regularly ask God ahead of time, "Lord, is there anything you want to show me today? Is there anything you want to say about what you're going to do in our time of gathered worship?" And honestly, I really didn't hear anything. But one Sunday morning, I did feel a very distinct impression that there was a person there that day that was contemplating suicide. Just completely out of the blue, this came to my mind. So I just stepped out and I shared it at the end of the worship set. And I just said a brief general prayer for anyone who might be struggling and left it there. And later that morning, a young woman came up to me and shared that she had been battling serious depression. She had had one previous suicide attempt, and she was on the verge of considering making another attempt. She said she actually hadn't planned on coming to church that morning, but she said she just felt this really strong prompting, like she needed to come. So she said, when I shared that word, she suddenly felt so seen and loved by God. And she no longer wanted to end her life, and she agreed with us that she would stay accountable with her mental health professional team. You know, as a kingdom people, we embrace being naturally supernatural, believing that we can share his prophetic messages using normal, everyday language without any religious hype or manipulation. We don't have to be weird or add anything to what God shares with us. And I just want to say, if any of you have ever been hurt by a bad model of prophetic ministry, I want to say I'm sorry. And that we hope we can redeem that for you here at Evanston Vineyard as we try to embrace a healthy approach to this important gift. You know, in a healthy biblical church, Paul assures us that we can also eagerly desire to expect to receive words of prophecy from others. A picture of God's kingdom and the hopeful future of the church is when we don't stand on our own two feet, but instead we're held up by our brothers and our sisters. The more we grow in Christ, the more we actually need each other. The true sign of godly maturity is not independence, but rather interdependence upon one another. We are the body of Christ. And in a church culture where prophecy is freely given and freely received, there's really a spiritual atmosphere of peace. And you know, sometimes in these discussions, some people can ask, you know, when we're listening to God, how do we make sure that we're not being deceived by the devil? That's a legitimate question. Here's what I'd say. God's prophetic words will always be marked by a sense of his holy peace. And the devil can never manufacture God's peace. It's also important to remember that the primary purpose of prophecy is not ultimately to give guidance or predictions. Though that does happen, it's probably more of a secondary purpose. One theologian said it this way: the primary purpose of prophecy is not foretelling, but forthtelling. It's spontaneously speaking forth God's perspective about a person or a situation. And I can't count how many times over the years God has given me a prophetic word that's simply an affirmation of his love or affection for somebody. Just something like, hey, I just felt really prompted, like God wanted me to share with you, he really loves you, that he's really proud of you, that you are beloved. Nothing predictive about it. It's just a simple, powerful truth. But when it's inspired by God at just the right moment, it can bring great comfort to a struggling heart. And one way to keep prophecy healthy in the church is to test it, Paul says. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he exhorts us, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold on to the good. So here at the Vineyard, there is one rule that we always follow when testing prophetic revelation. And it's this: our prophetic words must always be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. So what do? If you feel like you hear something that's not strengthening, encouraging, or comforting, there are three possibilities. Number one, maybe you're wrong. If you practice this a lot, I guarantee you will be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. That's how we learn from our mistakes. We learn by practicing, so keep taking risks with prophecy. And we grow best when there's safe accountability in place. So Paul tells us that we should always be willing to invite others to weigh prophetic words carefully. So you may be wrong. Number two, you may just need to pray about it. Sometimes God reveals something because he wants us to simply pray and intercede for the person rather than actually sharing it with them. I've heard somebody say a prophetic word is like a diving board into a pool of prayer. So always first pray and ask God if and when you should share it. Or if you hear something that's not strengthening, encouraging, or comforting, another possibility is that maybe you didn't listen long enough. Maybe you need to wait a little longer to see if there's something that God wants to say. If God shares an initial word or a picture, I encourage you, interact with him. You can ask God questions. You can have a dialogue and listen for more of his input. You would be amazed at God, what God might reveal if you ask. So what do you think? Are you up for taking the challenge to lean into this gift as a church? Let's stand, and we're going to close in some prayer. As we close today, you know, if you have a desire, you just are like, hey, it's been hard to hear from God. I want to hear more from God, or I want to grow in this gift of prophecy. I want to encourage others in this way. Can I just encourage you, maybe hold your arms out, hold your hands out, just sort of like a posture of surrender to God, and I'm just going to pray for us right now. Holy Spirit, would you come? We eagerly desire the gift of hearing from you. Would you empower us to hear you, to hear your voice? God, we expect, we believe that you will speak. And as you do, we will listen and we will respond. In the name of Jesus, our good shepherd, who always guides us, we pray. Amen.